been a lengthy tug of war over a new Viking stadium, one between the Wolf family with their Arden Hill Stadium site and the Minneapolis contingent armed with three sites and the backing of the many business and government leaders who want the stadium to remain downtown. That tug of war has been crashed by a newly elected mayor of a southwest suburb who has an aggressive idea on how to save the Vikings because, quite frankly, they need saving at this point. His name is Brad Tapke. He's the mayor of Shakopee, and he's joining me right now. Mr. Mayor, thank you for the time for this discussion today.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me on.
Before we begin, I don't want you thinking I'm sucking up to you or anything, but speaking not only as a lifelong Vikings fan, but also as an adult, I'm a father of three, and I'm completely jaded and cynical of politics in general. I just want to say how admirable it is that you've shown the kind of take-charge leadership that we don't see in government anymore. And I think you had a real future in politics if you, I don't know what your long-term aspirations are.
I don't know what my long-term aspirations are either. I didn't expect to be mayor.
How'd that happen?
I was chair of Shakopee Park and Rec Board and also chair of Chamber of Commerce. And we were, anytime we tried to get anything done that was new or different in Shakopee, we were pushed up against that wall that said, no, we can't do things differently. We can't do things in a new way. We can't look at things in a different light and dream big, basically. And it was driving me crazy. And I beat an 8-year incumbent, and I actually wasn't intending to run against him, but he decided at the last minute to stay in the race again when he was, all indications were that he was retiring. And so we were a group of folks in the business community and myself, we were really nervous about who would run instead to fill the void. And so we decided that I would run and worked really, really hard and ended up winning. And so it was a lot more fun than I ever expected it to be. And I'm not really fitting into this politician role, and I keep getting all these people talking about politics and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I'm just a guy who ran for mayor. And so it's been an exciting run so far.
Well, it sounds like that you, just like me, don't believe in the politics of can't, because you use the word can't or a variant of it about a half dozen times when talking about, you know, your experience before.
Exactly, yeah. There's this whole stadium thing happened because we didn't, at least I didn't feel we had much of a choice to not go for it. We had a really great site. A lot of pieces came together right at the right time with legislators, Senator Claire Roebling, Representative Mike Beard, and getting Corey Merrifield from SaveTheVikes.org. It all kind of pieced together right at the perfect time, and all the perfect spots fell in line, and we were able to get the stadium plan put together that is a really good stadium plan.
When you were campaigning, your main platform, I read somewhere, was that you were thinking big. Is that right?
Yep, absolutely.
Now, when you were running your campaign, I'm assuming you indulged yourself with the fantasies of what Shakopee would look like when you were done with it.
Mm-hmm.
What did those fantasies look like? What did Shakopee look like in your mind when you were done with it? What was your thing? Was the Viking Stadium part of it originally, or did you have something else in mind as part of the thinking big?
Yeah, the Viking Stadium was absolutely not on the radar in the slightest during the campaign. During the entire campaign, Shakopee holds its elections in off years, so it was this November was the election, and the stadium was, I mean, throughout that whole period was, I mean, pretty much a done deal. If they could get a stadium built, was going to be in Arden Hills, and that's the way everything looked, and that wasn't part of what we had talked about at all. But what we were talking about were things with economic development and bringing new businesses and working and focusing on bringing new businesses to Shakopee, as well as entertainment. We have, obviously, a lot of entertainment things with Valley Fair, Canterbury Park, Mystic Lake, Renaissance Festival, stuff like that down here in Shakopee. And so we need to work more on filling in the gaps, basically, there with restaurants and entertainment and retail and those types of things for the city, which are really, we don't have a lot of that right now. And so when the stadium came up as a possibility, it was a perfect way to start to fulfill a lot of those goals. If we can get the stadium to come here, then a lot of that stuff starts to kind of fill in gaps.
When you presented the plan, I remarked that, of course, you had to present it in the fashion you did time-wise because you were just elected. And what are you supposed to do, wait 50 years until they need another stadium and then propose it?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but you've been criticized by people like Sid Hartman, for example, mentioned that you were making a grandstand ploy just to get your name out there politically. And when I asked you about that before, you had said you were honored to be ripped by Sid.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Sid talked about our plan, and he talked about me, and that is what we need people to do. We need awareness, and we need things to go. Even if he's talking about it in a negative light, it's still talking about it, get the word out about it. And there are a lot of extremely smart people who read the plan and went through it and looked at it, who think it's an extremely viable, well-thought option. And so I don't agree with Sid by any means that it was grandstanding and just getting our names out there. But it was, we are the only plan that has legislative backing publicly backed by legislators. And we had 5 legislators there. So it's not just me and public grandstanding and such with that. It was, we have a viable plan in a really good way to get this done.
Sure, part of that's just Sid doing his own grandstanding because he's been involved with downtown Minneapolis sports forever, even back to the Minneapolis Lakers.
Right. Sid never grandstands, does he? I've never heard that at all.
It's alarming because he's usually so positive in his columns about everything, even when the team's losing, and all of a sudden he's criticizing you for trying to come up with an acceptable stadium plan, and it just threw me for a bit of a loop. But
yeah,
we know how people in the power structure feel, but the general reaction from your constituents, people in Shakopee city government and Scott County government, what are their reactions? What's their feedback?
It has been extremely well received and people extremely excited about it. We've got people contacting me and talking to me, just residents of Shakopee in the area. It's been 10-1 easily, positive to negative. People who are really excited about being part of this bigger conversation, and we know this whole time that it's a long shot to get this done, and that it is a, I don't call it a Hail Mary pass, but it kind of is. I mean, we know that there are a lot of things that have to happen in order to get the stadium built here in Shakopee, but there's a risk we're willing to take, and people are excited about that, and people are excited that we're dreaming big and thinking about things in a different way than it has been all through the past. We had a city council resolution of support was passed at city council meeting, my second city council meeting last week, last Tuesday. So that passed, and there was some good discussion, some legitimate, extremely legitimate concerns brought up with it that I am concerned about as well, but is just things like being entirely sure that the traffic works, that the infrastructure works, and all those kinds of things, which in my head are things that are step 2 in the process from where we're at right now. We need to get past this first leg of the process, and then we will verify unequivocally that all those other things will work. We have a very good idea, and we know that they will work, but we need to verify with studies and all those things that the infrastructure can handle all that and what needs to be done to augment things if what we've got existing can't handle it. So
you said it was a 10-1 positive to negative ratio.
Yep.
The one, are they more concerned about what one of the city councilmen said about the stadium, it could be the best or the worst thing to happen to Shakopee? Are people more concerned about that Shakopee is going to become something that they don't want it to be, that it's not going to be the Shakopee that it's always been? Or are they more concerned about the perception that you're giving corporate handouts to a multimillionaire New Jersey real estate developer that owns a football team?
You know, it's been kind of funny because that latter argument you just made there with giving money to big football team, that hasn't really come up much at all in the criticisms that people have had of me and of the process here. Most of the negativity has come from the way the process laid out with how fast we had to move with it and the fact that we didn't get to have council backing of it before.
You couldn't have done that. You couldn't have gone through all the bureaucratic red tape because the deadline was only a certain...
Right. Yeah, I am extremely comfortable with what we did. I have no problem with it whatsoever, and I don't think anybody could make a really good argument against what we did. Even the council that voted against the resolution, I don't think could make a really good argument against what we did. And so
it was 3-2, right?
Yep, it was 3-2. Yep. One is that councilman that every council has is going to vote no for a lot of things. And then the other councilman is a very good friend of mine, and he's extremely concerned about the transportation and making sure before we support this kind of thing that the traffic doesn't that the traffic can work. And so he wanted to, he wants to make sure the traffic works before we do that. So he has a different opinion as to how we approach it than I do. So, but everybody, I believe, thinks it is something that would be extremely beneficial and has potential to be a wonderful thing for Shakopee.
You mentioned the traffic issues. I was going to ask you about that because all the other sites, Arden Hills one and the Minneapolis sites, all are near interstate highways, which get their funding from federal transportation money. But 169 and 101, would that come from state of Minnesota transportation, or would that be a Scott County expense? Anything you had to do with the highways there?
That is one of those things that needs to be figured out completely yet, but that would, it would be a very big mix of state money, county money, and local money to get those figured out. We believe that there would be grants and other things that would be available through the state. Because our plan, the financing plan that we've got right now, does not include any state money at all to build the stadium. It is has no general fund money. Like the rest of the plans all have up to $375 million, I think it is, of general fund money. I don't remember exactly what the number the governor said the other day was. They have that money in there, which I don't personally think is the way to go. And I like the way we have our plan put together a lot better than using all that general fund money. And so I think that's an extremely important distinction between our plan and the other plans that are out there. But there would need to be some money spent to upgrade roads and things like that. But most of the upgrades are things that need to happen eventually anyway, just for the general growth of our area, and wouldn't be specific for the stadium. It would, the stadium being built would be the impetus to get it done now, but it's things that need to get done anyway.
Are we talking about widening of roads? Are we talking about on-ramps, off-ramps?
Yeah, we're talking all that, actually. We have the main interchange that would be used at 169 and 101. That would need to be expanded to handle more traffic, just adding a lane and fixing some of the turns and things through there would need to be done. Then there would be 169 has a lane that is slated to go, if you go to Canterbury Park, 169 as you come in southbound, it loses a lane right before you get to Canterbury, and it would need to extend that lane through there, which would help significantly with the traffic. And then there are also a lot of projects that are getting done right now, like 494 and 169. If that weren't getting done, we wouldn't even have thought about putting a stadium down here, because that would be a nightmare getting through that intersection with a stadium down this area. Then there are also other areas where traffic lights are coming out further down to 169, which will help slow traffic. And also on 13, coming straight shot from 35W over to the stadium, those are a lot of stoplights are coming out along 13 in the next couple of years. So that would be huge as well. So there, a lot of the things that are getting done right now will help the stadium, and then also other things that need to get done in order just for our general growth.
A lot of people that would go down to Mankato for training camp would be familiar with your area as it is, because they'd be taking 169 from Eden Prairie down through Scott County going towards Mankato. So it's not like it's a totally foreign area to a lot of Vikings fans.
Right, exactly. And it's not really a foreign area to anybody, because we have, like I said, we have 6 million people who come here every year, and everybody comes down to Canterbury Park once a year, every couple of years. Everybody comes to Valley Fair. Everybody comes to Mystic Lake. So there are... Everyone knows this area and knows how to get down here and is familiar with what we have to offer in Shakopee, and this would just fit in really well with a site that doesn't need any environmental cleanup, a site that has all the infrastructure already there, and it would be perfect.
Now, the Shakopee site is 130 acres, right?
Yes. It's two owners, 109 acres and 21 acres between those two owners, and then the city owns 105 acres just adjacent to that site.
About those extra 105 acres, you have those currently zoned for parks and recreation.
Yep.
Is that in pen or is that in pencil? Could they be zoned something else?
Nope. Once it's parkland, it has to stay parkland.
It can't be changed to commercial if you wanted to put the retail outlets or restaurants. You can't do anything like that?
Nope, absolutely not. It has to stay recreation. So we envision that being used as during the winter as skating and different outdoor activities like that. There can be a sledding hill over there, and just different things to improve the fan experience when they come to games down here. Then also during the summer, during all the events that happen, it'll be a public beach because it's a crystal clear, perfect lake, and so it can be public beach, camping, all those kinds of things that we can have going on over there during the summer for all the events that would be happening.
Well, I was going to ask you about if Ziggy Wolf called up and tried to work out some deal where he could get that land as part of the package, but if you're saying that it's ironclad, that it's Parks and Recreation, then that's obviously not something he could do.
Right, exactly. He cannot, we don't have the ability, once it's park land in Shakopee, you cannot, no matter what happens, you cannot change that.
That's a city thing?
Yep. I don't know if it's just a city thing or if it's a state of Minnesota thing. I'm not 100% sure on that. But I know within the city, once it is deemed parkland in Shakopee, you can't do anything. But there is if you drive down 101, 101 used to be 169 before the new bridge came through. And there is a lot of 30, 40, 50-year-old buildings and old industrial and a lot of things that are perfect and primed and available right now for development and for redevelopment. So there is a significant amount of land. There are hundreds of acres of land all right around this stadium that can be built as
Ziggyville
malls. Yeah, exactly, as malls, hotels, everything that they want in Arden Hills can be built down in Shakopee. It's not in one big swath of land, but it can be done really easily. So there's a significant potential for development all through that area.
Okay, how often have you communicated personally with Mark and Ziggy Wolf about this? Because I've heard that your discussions with them have been amicable, they've been courteous, but they've also been dismissive, would be the word I'd use.
Yeah, I have not personally talked to the Wolves themselves at all. We have been communicating with them as best we can, and they have been consistent the entire time that Arden Hills is their number one site. They are saying publicly that they don't that they want to reduce the number of sites as opposed to adding on the number of sites. But we gave them some very good coverage and impetus to get this process, continue this process moving. So I think that they were happy with that. But we, their line the entire time has been, thank you for your interest. Our number one site is Arden Hills.
You think that's more of a rejection of your proposal, or is that more of just them trying to maintain the agreement that they have with Ramsey County right now?
I think it is entirely the politics of it. I think that they look at our plan, and I think they're excited about our plan, but I just don't think that they have the ability politically to do anything with it at this point.
It's like they're the jock in the high school, but they have a girlfriend. This new girl moves into the neighborhood and goes to school, and, well, I'd love to go out with you, but I've already got somebody, that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. They're committed, and they are staying committed, exactly. And so that I think that that will be shaken up very soon, and that will be, I mean, the Ramsey County commissioners today and yesterday were saying that they are basically done and that there's not much they can do.
Minneapolis is more like the X, that they're trying to keep the Vikings from leaving.
Right.
You know, they're trying to break up Arden Hills and the Vikings.
Right.
And
That's exactly. They won't let go.
I wrote in one of my columns that if the Vikings were a woman, they would have filed a restraining order against City of Minneapolis by now.
They are tenacious. There is no doubt. You have to give them credit for that. They are not walking away without a fight, and they seem to be winning that battle right now.
I've looked at your proposal. It's impressive in the amount of time that it took you to come up with this. What is in it, especially the part about there's no tax dollars as part of the financing? And I'm particularly curious about, you have a 130-acre site with a retractable roof stadium, which is the most expensive kind of stadium you can have,
mm-hmm.
for $920 million, which is a lot cheaper than some of the other sites. How has your group made the cost that low, considering you're using that much land and that kind of stadium?
Yeah, the way we got to that, and it took a lot of work to get to those numbers, and it took a lot of, and if you look, we have everything is cited and everything is in our plan, shows exactly where the numbers come from, exactly how we got to those numbers that we used for everything. But part of what helps our site significantly is how cheap our land is. We will be we believe, at least at this point, that the 130 acres we'll be able to get for around $35 million for everything. So that is much cheaper than any of the land in Minneapolis for what is happening there, especially if they go to the Linden Avenue site. That's going to be a nightmare, getting all those landowners on board and getting all that taken care of. And then the second thing that we have a huge advantage on is this site currently has a vacant building sitting on it that was slated for heavy industrial, using lots of water, lots of sewer, and it was intended to use all those infrastructure items. And so it was built with what that stadium would need currently. So we don't need to do any sewer, water, electricity, data, all those kinds of things. They're already there. So we don't have all those costs in there that a lot of the other places will have. Then the other way, the other thing is we took what a stadium, we basically, in talking to the Vikings, they would like to have a stadium very similar to Lucas Oil Field in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And that was built, I'm trying to remember my numbers here, 4 or 5 years ago for right around $800 million. And so from that, also with a study that was done for redoing a Metrodome with a retractable roof stadium there, that's where we got those numbers for the actual. So we believe, with working with other engineering companies, that those numbers are accurate and true for what it would be, what it would cost to build a stadium in Shakopee right now.
That's part of the problem with Minneapolis, in my opinion, is because if they want a stadium that's patterned after Lucas Oil Stadium, I've seen Lucas Oil Stadium firsthand, and you can't build that stadium on the Metrodome site.
Right.
You can't do it.
Nope.
You have to take, you could conceivably do it, but any parking that's around the stadium would be gone. And that's one of the concerns, is people don't take light rail in for football games. People want to, they want to tailgate for football games. They want to drive in, they want to play catch with their kids, they want to have their TV they can set up and watch the early game or the late game, depending on when the Vikings game is, things like that. They want to barbecue, and you can't have that with pretty much any of the downtown Minneapolis sites. That's what makes the Arden Hill site appealing to the Wilfs. It's what made Blaine appealing to the Wilfs, and I'm assuming that they find some appeal in your situation. I do have a question about the retractable roof, because I don't think personally speaking, I don't think retractable roof is practical for football, because especially in Minnesota, I mean, you're talking about 10 regularly scheduled games if you have the 2 preseason and the 8 regular season. I don't think the roof would be open for more than 4 of those games a year. I'm assuming that one of the reasons why you came up with the retractable roof idea was because the Wilfs had talked earlier about an MLS franchise that they were trying to get if they got a new stadium, and MLS would want a grass field. You need to have a retractable roof to actually maintain natural grass in that field. Did that play into your decision to make it a retractable roof stadium?
That absolutely, not necessarily the MLS portion of it, but we want it to be a year-round facility. It is important to us to have it be something that will be able to be used year-round, that won't just be used for those 10 or whatever ends up being, depending on the Vikings, games that are held each year. I think that, myself, I think that's an extreme waste of a beautiful facility. I think that it needs to be used for more things and need to be able to be used year-round. So having a soccer team there would be phenomenal. Being able to have concerts and hold Little League and other things in that stadium and be able to use it more than just during the NFL season, I think is really important, because I think it's an extreme waste to have something like that and not be able to use it more than just during the NFL season.
As a vocal proponent of a stadium, I've come up with some uses that didn't involve the Vikings. You could have a college bowl game possibly there. You could have a Final Four there. The NFL had been talking about bringing the Super Bowl back to Minnesota. You could have a WrestleMania at a new stadium there. These are mm-hmm. the kind of events that the Xcel Energy Center and the Target Center can't hold.
Right.
And that's the appeal of having the new stadium, is you could have all these different types of events. I call them big-ticket events, because you can attract 60, 70,000 people. You can attract 90,000 people for a WrestleMania event from all over the upper Midwest.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are the kinds of things that we think are really important to have, not just at the stadium, no matter where it is, but here in Shakopee, because that is very appealing to us, and all the things that we've got going on down here with our hotels and Mystic and all those types of things. I think it would be a waste to not have a facility that can be used year-round.
If you could shave $100 million off the price tag but have a fixed roof instead of a retractable roof, is that an option, or are you guys kind of married in Shakopee to the whole retractable roof idea?
We are, I mean, anything is an option, so I don't want to say it wouldn't be, it couldn't happen, but we are very much proponents of the retractable roof, as well as the Vikings are very much proponents of the retractable roof. So I think that is, I think that should be the way it's going to go.
Did you discuss a fixed roof at all at any point, or was it all pretty much retractable roof from the onset?
We had a little discussion about what the how that should look, but we pretty much landed on retractable roof fairly easily.
Okay, and you have the Vikings contributing $400 million.
Correct.
Okay, with user fees to no tax money. But hypothetically, we hear about cost overruns all the time. I believe Target Field had cost overruns as well. And in your proposal, who would be responsible? This is something I hadn't heard before, and I just wanted to know who would be responsible for cost overruns with the new stadium.
That would be within the bonding. So we've got, like, the user fees we did, our numbers are extremely safe numbers in what we did. We have pretty big contingencies in everything, as well as, like, if Racino goes through, there is, we, in order for you to use Racino for the stadium, we are only using, I believe it's 25% or 30% of what Racino will bring in per year for the stadium, and the rest goes towards general fund and paying back school shifts and things like that. So I believe that that's where, if there are cost overruns and there are other things that happen, that is where that money would come from for that, or it would come from the Vikings, one or the other.
Okay. That's something to be agreed upon later?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of those details that needs to get worked out once we they begin to look, take a really good hard look at our site and say that it's the best solution and start to get into the details of it.
It is a concern, though, with the low price tag that you have already on the project, because there is the fear of cost overruns when you estimate on the low end.
Well, we're not that, we aren't that much lower than, we're, let's see, the Metrodome, redoing the Metrodome is cheaper than what we've got if you don't include utilizing TCF and things like that. So the actual construction of the Metrodome as a stadium is cheaper than what we've got, and that's including pulling down the building and everything over there. And then, let's see, the Arden Hills, the stadium itself, we are right in line with where Arden Hills was for building their stadium as well. So what we have is not cheap by any means. It would have been nice if we could have shaved, if we could have, in good faith, shaved off another $80 or $100 million in getting the cheaper stadium down here. But we wanted our numbers to make sure that they covered everything and all of our bases are covered.
I didn't mean to imply that it was quote unquote cheap. It's just when you have a, when your main selling point is the overall cost, there is always a concern that, that things happen, you know. And,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that you might have additional costs down the road. There's a term that we always hear about facilities like this, and that term is shovel-ready. And how shovel-ready is Shakopee right now? We know that the sites in Minneapolis, they have to tear a lot of things down. We hear about Arden Hills, about how they have to do a lot of cleanup with the munitions dump. But how, when could a Shakopee site be shovel ready?
Shakopee site, once the plans and everything get done for exactly what would go in, would be ready within days. Because once they start moving on our site, we would be able, there's a building that's there currently that's never been used, and that needs to get pulled down and basically sold for scrap. They're going to make money on that building, which is a shame that the building has to come down in order to make this, but it's a very niche sort of building and doesn't really have much use in the current market at all. So it's extremely unfortunate that's the way it needs to go. But all that has to be done is that building needs to be torn down. The parking lots that were for that building were never laid with asphalt. So it's just the building that is there, and there'll be a move forward.
Okay, you mentioned the Racino before as one of the options for the financing. Mystic Lake is also located in your county, and are you concerned about their insistence on having a monopoly on tribal casinos in the state? Are they more of a, could they possibly become an ally at some point, or do you see them as an adversary the entire way?
Definitely not an adversary. We look at things differently, and I've been, since the election, and we won the election, I've been working on relationship with the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community who run Mystic Lake, and we've had really good positive steps in making sure that our relationship works. We agree that we're never going to agree on everything because we've got competing interests at times, but there are enough things in between that we do agree on and that we can move forward on and get some really good things done. And Racino is one of those things that we don't agree on. But beyond Racino, there are a lot of really good things that we can do. And so we're talking to them about a lot of different things. And no, I don't see them as an adversary at all. I just see them as having a different opinion as how that moves forward.
I guess I would view them, I guess I use the word adversary because if the Racino is so essential to the financing and you would think they would fight the Racino, that I guess I would consider that to be an adversary. But, I mean, is there any compromise that could be made, like about the tribal casino subcontracting the operations of the Racino? Is that a possibility to maybe pacify them a bit to get this to go through?
There are a lot of options. And we the governor's deadline kind of forced our hands in order to get the plan put together. Optimally, we would have rather had another month or so in order to get some other things fleshed out, which we're working on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we can get some other options put together. But there's not a whole lot I can say about that right now.
Okay, I understand that. The proposal for Minneapolis, when the governor had his deadline, was smaller than my seventh grade term paper on Finland. It was only 4 pages long.
No, it was only 2.5 pages of actual text.
What, cover sheet was one of them?
Mm-hmm. That 4 includes the cover sheet, yeah.
That's got to say a lot about when they have 3 sites. How many pages was your proposal?
We were 40-some pages.
And you had a week, pretty much, to get that all together, and they've had years.
Yeah. There's that site, their proposal did not cover 3 sites. Their proposal covered only the Metrodome site. The city of Minneapolis only put forward the Metrodome site. They did not put forward the Farmers Market site. They did not put forward the Linden Avenue site as a viable option.
Is that because of Mayor Ryback?
I don't know. I don't know what the reasoning was for what they did, and I wouldn't obviously be able to speculate on that, but that is what they put forward, is the Minneapolis Downtown East is what they called it. Mm-hmm. And my assumption is it's more of a strategic move, and it works in their favor, that they wanted to make sure to put forward the fact that there was the Metrodome is their first choice as a city, but that the governor left it open very much so that Linden Avenue is still an option.
It's just alarming that at this stage of the game, after the number of years that this whole stadium dance has gone around, that it still seems like, even at this point, that everyone is settling, that we don't have a consensus, we don't have a clear favorite, everyone is settling. The Vikings are, oh, well, if I can't have Arden Hills, then Linden Avenue, it seems all right. And it even seems like the city of Minneapolis is settling as well because they would prefer to have the Metrodome site. And you think at this point, if they're going to be so willing to settle, that they would look they'd be as open-minded as possible at any possible scenarios, right?
Yeah, that's part of what everybody was. We really didn't get into planning this and actually talking again about it until the Vikings started indicating that they were looking at other sites other than Arden Hills. That's when we first started really thinking that this is a possibility for Shakopee to get something together. And once they started indicating that, we kicked everything into high gear, and then once the governor put his deadline out there, we even pushed it harder to get everything done the way we needed to. And but that's, people keep talking to me about the fact that we came to the game so late and all that kind of stuff. And I understand that it isn't optimal, probably, but does it really put us at that big of an advantage, disadvantage, when you look at just what you're saying, the Minneapolis site? They had 2.5 pages saying where they were going to do things from, and that's not really a plan. I think that we had, and some of the commissioners at the Metropolitan Sports Facility Commission said to me in the meeting the other day that they liked our plan, what we did with it, the best, and the way we put everything together and the way it all worked. They really liked our plan, and that was extremely positive and made me feel good. But
I knew the butt was coming.
What was that?
I knew the butt was coming because I read Ted Mondale's comments in the Star Tribune yesterday.
Oh, yeah, and they're still saying that it is a long shot, but I don't believe that it's as big of a long shot as everybody says publicly. Like, we are positioning ourselves to be everybody's favorite second option. And I think that once this all gets flushed out and the big issues really start to come out on especially the Linden Avenue location, then everybody will be able to step back a minute and say, hey, we've got this other solution down here that we really need to look at and see if it is as viable as they say it is. And so once we get to that point and everybody steps back a little bit and says, let's get this done, that everyone will give us another look and say, this is a great way to go.
I don't know why everyone's so hunkered in their bunkers about these different sites, because Linden Avenue is just a public relations nightmare waiting to happen, especially with the Basilica.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to what the governor had said about all the sites. He said that all the sites have multiple problems. And I would assume he also meant your site. What do you see as the multiple problems that the governor is referring to in the Shakopee location?
Yeah, our biggest problem in the Shakopee location to the governor, and it's not to all of the legislators, is that Racino is not a viable funding option. And there is obviously concern about that. We have a plan for it, for getting Racino passed first and then getting a stadium plan passed after that, which we've already got Racino bills in front of Congress, not in front of Congress, in front of the legislature, and moving to get that done as we speak. And there's once this all started to happen, there was obviously some push from behind the scenes, which I'm not exactly sure where it came from. But we had been getting extremely good indications that Racino will pass this year from many sources. And then all of a sudden, once our plan came out, everybody started saying, no, Racino's not going to pass. And I'm not sure why that is.
More propaganda.
Exactly.
Minneapolis propaganda.
And that was frustrating, but I don't think that the fact that everybody's saying it won't pass is reality yet. So we've got that hand is still yet to play, as well as the governor said that it would be caught up in courts for years, which I haven't heard that from anyone else that they think that is entirely the way it's going to happen. But he holds the cards on this, so it's incumbent upon us to find different options and other ways to get this done.
I've always thought that the Block E casino idea in downtown Minneapolis would just make an incredibly obscene amount of money, especially when you have game night crowds from Wolves mm-hmm. games and from Twins games, and people that just wander the skyways downtown. And a big casino there, I think, would make a ridiculous amount of money. And is that something that is on your radar? Is that something that could be part of the financing plan in addition to Racino, or maybe in place of Racino?
No, that is not something that we are not looking at an expansion of gambling as our option to Racino. I can't comment on what we are looking at right now, but we are looking at other funding options.
What do you think about the Block E idea, though? You think it's an extension of gambling?
Oh yeah, that would definitely be an expansion of gambling. And I don't think that if it was used for a stadium in general, yeah, it could certainly help us out. But that's not the governor wants a local partner as the third leg of the stool, basically. And Block E casino wouldn't fit our stadium as the local partner.
He's talking about a municipality or a county government. Is that what he means by a local partner or a local business partner?
Local funding partner. So either a local municipal tax or anything like that, or
the revenue generator in your county, like the Racino would be in your county.
Exactly.
That's what he means. Okay.
Yep.
Do you find that if you say you have legislators already on board with your plan,
mm-hmm.
is going over the head of the governor of the Vikings directly to the legislators, is that a game plan possibly, if need be? Or are you trying to go through the proper channels with the governor? It just seems like you're getting resistance from Mr. Dayton and from Mr. Welf.
Yeah, we're going to do everything we can to get it done and to get it built here in Shakopee, but I don't see not having them on board is not a viable option. I don't see many paths to success without having them involved and on board with it.
They've got to be on the boat with you.
Yeah, I don't see any way to make it happen without their support. And so we need to get to that point.
Okay, I've got one final question for you, sir. Worst case scenario, Ziggy Wolf decides to petition the NFL for relocation. And we saw it with the Twins when the contraction issue came up a decade ago. If Shakopee has a legitimate proposal on the table, is there anything legally that you could do in the form of an injunction, any legal recourse to keep the team from relocating?
I can't say definitively, but not that I'm aware of. We are basically looking at a land deal, and there's nothing that we can do to legally force them to stay here from our standpoint. I don't know if the state can do anything about that, but from our perspective, I don't know, and I haven't heard of anything that would make that happen.
The reason I ask is because one of the reasons he would petition to relocate is that he would obviously have to say that there's no acceptable scenarios in Minnesota for a new stadium, and that would be false because there would be the Shakopee proposal, and that would be your way of stepping up and saying, hi, we're here. We have a legitimate local option for him, so we can't say I got to move to L.A. or Toronto or London or wherever because there's no chance of building a stadium in Minnesota, because there would still be your option.
Mm-hmm. We haven't talked about that. We hope that it doesn't have to.
That's
get
why
to
I
that,
said worst case scenario, my friend.
Yep. We want obviously the Vikings to stay in Minnesota. I don't know if that would be our option to do, or if that would be the state's option. I would think that would be the state. But we have done everything we can to get word out. I mean, our plan was on the front page of ESPN when we announced it, and I was really excited about that. And so the NFL knows what we're doing, and they know what's happening here, and they are very aware of the situation with the Vikings and the multiple sites and the multiple plans that were put forward. So I don't know. That's something we'll have to cross. Hopefully, we don't have to get there, but if it is, we'll have to figure that out and make sure that everyone knows exactly where everybody's at with their plans, and hopefully we, by that time, will have a secondary option for funding and take it from there.
Excellent. I wish you the best of luck. Actually, I did my power rankings of all the stadium sites, and I have Shakopee as my number one on my power rankings. I'm not just saying that because you're interviewing with me right now. I actually think with the cost and with the location, it's actually a good location. A lot of people might think that it's a little too far out of the city, but there's a lot of stadiums that are like that, and it's actually not a bad drive. Arden Hills is still kind of, it's inside the 694-494 loop, and the Minneapolis site that I think is the best one is the Farmers Market site, because it's right there by the Targets, Target Field and Target Center. It would make for like the sports complex that you see in a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, the two sites they seem to be clinging to the most are the two that I'm least fond of and I think make the least sense, which
exactly.
Are the Metrodome and Linden Avenue.
Yeah, and with one thing that a lot of people aren't considering with Minneapolis and such is that all of the season ticket holders that live in the metro area, vast majority of them live in the west and southwest metro. So we're only 5 miles south of Winter Park. So it's not like where the stadium would be built is 5 miles south of Winter Park. So it's not like it's it's on the south side of the river, which has its own connotations, but it's not out of the way. And everybody comes down here already as it is. And so all the season ticket holders would be closer that live in the west and southwest metro than if they were going downtown. And it would be, we think it would work out really well.
I think it would too, and I hope things work out. Please keep me posted on any updates. And
wonderful.
Hopefully we can discuss any new developments again at some point.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it, Will. And, if you need anything, just let me know. Hit me up on Twitter like we have been, so that's very
excellent.
Good. And, we'll take it from there.
Mayor Brad Tapke of Shakopee, I appreciate your time, and once again, thank you, and all the best in keeping the Vikings here in Minnesota.
You as well. Thanks. Have a great night.